fam. Welcome to another episode of Stirring the Pot Podcast. This is your host, DDA, aka 509 Reasons. And we're back, and this one is for the cousins. And when I say the cousins, I mean black folks. Just let me cook and I'll explain, all right? I was debating heavily if I'd do another episode on politics and whether I was going to talk about the receipts of the hypocrisies of the Trump Republicans. And take big note on Trump Republicans and not the typical, because the two are not the same. But ultimately, I decided that I am, but from a different angle. I know we talk a lot about, you know, building legacies, building wealth, you know, stuff that we could pass down to, you know, those coming after us. But it seems like in that process, we forget that we're actually continuing the legacies of those that have come before us. Or should I say, we're trampling on them. We're spoiled. I don't think we understand or truly appreciate the sacrifices that were made so we can move the way that we do today. Back in the day, some folks were so committed to the cause that they didn't even have time to create families. And also in some situations, activists became martyrs to the cause because they believed in the vision that their ultimate sacrifice would lead to those after them having better lives. Don't get me wrong, we've come a long way, but we have so much further to go because we're becoming stagnant. We're becoming divided amongst each other. I believe that the division created is due to some outside entities that believe that they have more to lose if black folks had more access to power. Let me share a story with you about one of the many sacrifices that led to the privileges that you have at the moment. And peep game when I say at the moment. March 7, 1965, there was a walk on Edmund Pettus Bridge. Those protesters that were marching to Montgomery, Alabama from Selma were attacked by a violent posse that included regular white citizens, police, state troopers. More than 15 marchers were hospitalized in that event called Bloody Sunday. The marchers were organized by the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. The march was intended to draw attention to the violations of civil and voting rights in Alabama and throughout the South. Across the nation, people watched footage of peaceful protesters getting beaten until they were bloody, injured. And that was the case for legendary activist John Lewis, which suffered concussions. Days later, there was a second attempted march. They called that Turnaround Tuesday. A white minister died from injuries suffered at that march. This media attention galvanized the civil rights movement in the U.S. And a third march led by Lewis, again, Ralph Abernathy, and Martin Luther King Jr. reached Montgomery on March 25th, 1965. After that, the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was passed 5 months later. Lewis remembers President Lyndon Johnson signed that act, but it was written by the people of Selma. So I know a lot of people believe that we don't have the power to change our outcomes. We do. But it takes patience. We have to be consistent and know that it's not something that's going to happen overnight. But it also, it really does take our participation. So with that, this Civil Rights Act, we're able to, you know, go to voting polls without discrimination. There were some cases of people that had to pay a tax to vote. And mind you, at that time, people didn't have money like that. Black folks to be paying $2 to vote. If you can, just go ahead and Google what $2 is today, what it was back then. It is not the same number. Now, research showed that the act had successfully massively increased voter turnout and voter registrations, in particular amongst black people. The act has also been linked to concrete outcomes such as greater public goods provision, such as public education for areas with higher black population shares, more members for Congress who vote on civil rights related legislation, and greater black representation in local offices. What does that mean? So when you vote to have that representation, there's people that look like you, people that can relate to you, they could actually give you a voice to fight for the things that you need for your community. You need money for your schools. You need money for your hospitals, for your community, the roads, buildings, all of that type, you know. But if you're not going to vote, that money goes elsewhere because no one's paying attention to your situation. So with that being said, let's fast forward to 2021. In 2021, the Brnovich versus Democratic National Committee Supreme Court ruling reinterpreted the Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, substantially weakening it. So you have to ask, if voting doesn't matter, why are they taking all these steps to make your vote invalid? Why are they taking all these steps to make sure you don't go to the polls? Questions you have to think. If you're not making the conscious decision to vote, this is what's destined to happen to you. I think people need to understand these things. At least 165 state bills related to election laws were introduced between the 2020 election and the end of February 2021, with 28 laws passed across 17 states when the court's ruling was issued. Analysts claim that some of the bills appeared purposely to restrict voting rights further and limit minority voting if they passed. So once again, I gotta ask, why do you think it's not important to vote when there are so many people actively trying to suppress your vote already? You gotta make it make sense to me. I just wanna play a quick video though.
Time to hold the vote until we get something. It's time to hold the vote until we get something. Anybody telling you that you gotta vote, be skeptical.
I want you to spot the difference between the way that right-wing conservatives are talking about voting and the way that people allegedly interested in progress are talking about voting. Every election cycle, someone insists that black folks, for one reason or another, should not vote.
Hold the vote until we get something.
But have you ever noticed that conservative white people are rarely, maybe even never told that they should be withholding their vote? In fact, this is what white Christian nationalists have been saying to each other in plain sight for decades.
They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote.
That's Paul Weyrich back in 1980.
Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now.
He's a godfather in the modern conservative movement, and he co-founded the Heritage Foundation. Yes, the folks who have been producing the document known as Project 2025 for the last 40 plus years.
As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
What they know is that their vision for America is profoundly unpopular. And as such, it hinges entirely on people like you not showing up to vote.
Also, another reason why elections are so important, especially presidential elections. I want to play another clip by Brother Jeff. Now it goes by the name of Jeff Johnson, his actual government, his actual name, right? Crazy. But anyways, just listen to this right quick.
Who am I here with today?
Jeff Johnson.
Why is it important for American citizens to be involved in this year's election?
Every election is important. Every time somebody is elected, somebody's going to pass laws, spend money, and appoint judges. I think we get caught up in, are we excited about candidates? Do we like candidates? Do we respect candidates? I don't have to do none of that. I just have to know that they are going to appoint judges, spend money, and pass policy. And I need to make sure that my voice is heard to either pick the person I think is going to work for me or is going to work the least against me.
So I want you to really like pay attention to what he just said on that. You might not have the, you know, you might not love the person, but you're not. Do you need someone that you love to be your leader? That's not going to happen. That's not going to be the case. This is a nation full of people. You got white people, you got black people, Spanish people, Native Americans, all types of people, Asians. This one person or this group of people have to govern over a whole group of diverse people. Do you need to praise them as God? Hell no, you do not. But you want to make sure that they're not infringing on your rights. Which person do you see is the one that's going to help you be the most successful in your life to let you live happily with you, your family? Which one is going to be the one that helps you the most? Also in that situation, we have to realize that these presidents, these are the ones that choose the judges that get to decide different outcomes that you have to abide by. With Trump, he has put in so many judges that have ran back a lot of the civil rights movement. I've kind of covered that a little bit, where they were restricting voter access in particular locations, especially locations where there are a high amount of black people. So this is a real thing. This is not just a talking point. It's a reality. They said it in the name of fraud, but there was no fraud in massive numbers that was found for them to run back these civil rights acts. Also with that, the dismantling of affirmative action. So with affirmative action, that law was put into place to give us people of color, I hate saying the word people of color, but black folks, Hispanics, whatever. The affirmative action has given us access to places of education, places of work, higher pay, to keep us, you know, protected from discrimination. But even those are being rolled back with the judges that Trump has put into place. Affirmative action was only put there because the people who had access to a better lifestyle, I should say, is white folks. The country was built, well, physically built with us, but they're the ones that made all the legislation to pretty much have the upper hand. Affirmative access gave us access to an equal playing ground. You would hope with affirmative access, affirmative action, that later on down the line, we'd be able on that such an equal ground, we wouldn't need affirmative action anymore, but we're not at that point yet. Women are still waiting, they're still fighting for equal pay, working the same positions as a man. Black men are still looking for equal pay in some of these positions as well, you know? Affirmative action. So one of the causes, one of the results of them stripping some of that affirmative action stuff away from the Supreme Court doing that, it was a significant drop off in college admissions at the top college and institutions such as Harvard or University of North Carolina, where race was taken out of consideration. Ultimately, effects will be felt in every aspect of the nation's economic, educational, and social life. So, example, the Rooney Rule that is instituted in the NFL. The Rooney Rule states that for every coach that you interview, every white coach, you do have to interview a black coach as well, or person of color, Hispanic, Asian, black, whatever. You have to also interview one of them in that process before you make your final decision to hire a coach. So things of that sort, if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't have as many black coaches as you do in the league today. There was a time where they were non-existent. And I believe now today you have like at least half the coaches are black. And that's because of the Rooney Rule. That's because of affirmative action. But when you take things like this away, now there's no incentive to have to worry about hiring a man, a woman. You're pretty much, you're just going to stick to the people you know. You're going to stick to your community, the people you're familiar with. So when you can relate to, and the people you can relate to is the people you grew up around. And if you're in a situation where you didn't grow up in a diverse community, you're only going to want to deal with people you're comfortable with. And that's the whole point of affirmative action, to give people that equal playing ground, that access. And with that access, this is how you build up wealth, through education, financially, being having access to these different networks that you wouldn't have if it wasn't for affirmative action. The lawmakers, I said it earlier before, if you are not voting for people that look like you, if you're not putting the numbers behind these people that can relate to you, that can fight for the things that you need in your community, you're not gonna get nothing. Congress is the one that has the purse, the money to the United States. They're the ones that determine where the money goes to. Determine whether the money goes to this community or that community. If that community does not vote, that community does not get the money because no one's paying attention to you. They don't believe you have power. The power is in the voting. If you don't vote, you don't get the money for your community. You don't have the access. People who have died for this for a reason. Why would you think it's a joke today? And if you have complaints and you didn't vote, what you doing here? You might as well go somewhere else where you can go to another country. Cause you don't need to complain here. You didn't even try. Ain't nobody trying to hear that shit. If you think it's a joke like that, get up out of here. Don't be disrespecting the people that came before you. At the end of the day, if you don't vote, you're not able to put the people that you want into office that'll fight for you. Especially if you don't have the numbers to put behind the people that look like you, that knows what you're needing in your community. I want to play another video.
I want to give you a couple highlights of something from Central City News, which is a Republican newspaper here in Baton Rouge, and what they think about the low black voter turnout and how they think that a white Republican can end up the mayor of Baton Rouge. Here we go. The numbers I will talk about are as of Saturday, November the 2nd, 2024. At this time, a total of 94,334 people have voted in the EBR. The white turnout is through the roof, while the black turnout is poor at best. So far, a total of 54,697 white voters have cast ballots, while 35,267 black voters have cast ballots. Even at a glance at those numbers, it makes it clear the idea that a white cannot be elected mayor president is a myth or simply a talking point for people who want that to be true. East Baton Rouge Parish has a Republican sheriff, assessor, clerk of court, and coroner. A majority of the Metro Council is Republican and is a majority of the East Baton Rouge Parish School Board. Just last December, Republican candidates for Attorney General, Secretary of State, Treasurer all carried East Baton Rouge Parish. There is no reason whatsoever to believe a Republican cannot be elected parish-wide. But keep in mind, only 30% of black voters showed up in the elections that contributed to these people ending up in power. So they wouldn't even be elected if you showed up to vote. But the reason that they get elected is because you don't show up to vote. All right. He's also ignoring the fact that the school board is being sued and the city council for the gerrymandering because the city is majority black, but the districts are majority white on the map, right? He's excluding those things, but those things happen when you don't what? Vote.
So check it. Tell me why, from what he just said in this particular situation, because it's not, it definitely cannot be a one-off. In this particular community in East Baton Rouge, with a whole bunch of black folks and low voter turnout, why are white folks managing that community? It's because you're not coming out to vote. Some black folks are not coming out to vote. And when that happens, you don't get to say. And white folks up top get to keep that. They get to do whatever they want. They could choose to deprive your community of resources that it needs to thrive. And then when that happens, you cannot be like, what has the government done for me? You didn't even try. They blatantly out here telling you that, you know, your votes don't matter. They're showing you that they don't give a fuck about you. And you're letting them. That's because you're not choosing to take part in that process. Government is not sexy. I get it. But so neither is paying bills. But you need the lights on. You need to eat food. You need running water. And you do need resources to grow. You need resources to thrive. If you're not choosing to put people into the office that care about your community, you're not getting the resources to your schools. You're not getting the resources to your community, to your hospitals. You're not getting the resources to your first responders that look like you, first of all. First responders like police that, you know, that understand the dynamics of your community, that know like, oh, maybe this person is just, you know, they're feeling some type of way right now and not an actual threat. Because, you know, when you're not, you know, voting for those resources, the people who are in power, who have nothing, no relation to you, get to make those decisions where those first responders don't look like you and they think you're a threat and they take you out of here. I think we have to take certain things more seriously. And if you don't think that matters to you, you know, and then you think you should have the voice to complain, you're a damn fool. If all you're going to do is complain and tell people not to vote, just shut the fuck up, honestly. Be real. I try to be like super cordial about it and try to understand people. But this shit is not a joke for real. And if you don't think you're getting anything, if you don't think you're living in privilege right now, what you doing here still? I promise the people that was living here maybe 60, 70 years ago, they didn't have the privileges you have today. People died for this. People bled for this. People were maimed for this. People didn't have families because of this. Because they were fighting for you. They're fighting for me. They're fighting for us. But you got some people out here who's just, you know, who are not voting or telling people not to vote. They think it's a joke. Don't get me wrong. I don't say I have full trust in the government, but you still have to take part in that process. It is a dirty game. I cannot lie to you. I am not naive. You still got to take part in that game to get some of what you want. You're not going to always get everything you need because this is a whole diverse country. Everybody has different needs. There's going to be things that you get that you want, and there's going to be things that you don't like. This is not heaven. This is not a utopia. This is the United States of America. There's a whole lot of different people here. Everybody wants theirs. But when are you going to fight for yours? Talking about the government never gave you nothing. But you didn't want to take part. Make it make sense. And then when you don't take part, now the people are making decisions on your behalf. Now you want to talk shit. Anyways, that's all I got for this episode, man. Today's election day. Y'all be safe out here. And understand that it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. If you really talking about the building wealth and creating legacies, things of that sort, why are you not taking your part right now? Why are you not doing yours? Anyways, man, you already know what it is, man. Catch me on the gram, catch me on the Facebook, and I'm out of here, man. Peace in.